What's up, Ghoul Kids? Welcome back to another episode of the Ghoulish Gallery, where I, Tasha, and sometimes my insane dogs talk to guests from all over the US and beyond about their local spooks, cryptids, urban legends, haunted places, and more. And this is a reminder that we are now part of the You Run Podcast Network, which is on every social media platform imaginable because Scott is a superhero. Head over to YouRunPodcast.com to check out our show, along with several others, including Video Tasties. Gareth is on Instagram and YouTube, providing us with reviews and recommendations of every movie you can imagine, and then some. He's got some awesome YouTube shorts that cover the top 10 movies of each year, all kinds of fun stuff. So go check them out. Follow us at The Sinister Scoop on Instagram, Sinister Scoop 6 on Twitter. Not calling it X, or www.thesinisterscoop.com. Appreciate it. This episode is another one that was recorded way before the hiatus, and I talked to Al Davidson about Kentucky. So definitely look Al up because she's done a ton more since we talked, and make sure you're following her and check out all the work that she's constantly pumping out. So here we go. And hope you enjoy. What's up, Ghoul Kids? Welcome back to another episode of the Ghoulish Gallery with your hosts, me, Tasha, and Journey, who's already having a meltdown. So we're gonna see how this goes. Each week, I have a guest from a different location here to tell us about their local spooks, haunted places, cryptids, urban legends, etc. And this week, we have Alicia Davidson.
Yes.
I guess I technically did that backwards, didn't I? They usually do
It's
like the
okay.
first name and then the Here to discuss my neighbor Kentucky. So thank you for coming on. I'm really excited to have something like close to home and within
Yeah, I'm
driving
excited to be
distance.
here. Kentucky's weird. There's
I
lots to talk about.
as somebody who gets a lot of phone calls at work from people coming down out of Kentucky, I can confirm that. Like I work for well, I won't list the actual agency. I'll tell you later. But yeah, we get a lot of calls coming from North Carolina and Kentucky. And I'm like, we're just gonna
Yeah.
cut off pieces of our state and like give them to Kentucky so that we don't have to have any more and they'll just blend in and it'll be fine. So you grew up there, right?
I actually grew up in Kansas City and I moved there when I was in middle school. So I spent all of middle school, high school, college, and almost all of my 20s in Kentucky. So like the parts that were very prominent of my life was spent in Louisville, right on the cusp of Kentucky and Indiana. So
Oh, goodness. What a spot to be.
yeah. Oh yeah.
Indiana scares me.
Yeah. Become an incredible driver having to deal with Indiana drivers, man. It is not just a cliched trope, it is true. Like when I moved back here, I was like, oh, the roads are great, they're super safe. And the one time I almost got ran off the road was by an Indiana driver. I'm like, how did you find me? I was like, how did you find me here in the
No.
heartland?
See, that's always been Ohio for me. Even after living in California and having like six lanes of traffic,
Yeah.
seeing how people are out there. When I go back to New York to visit my family, I always take 75 right up
Yeah.
through. And Ohio, every time, man, I'm like, I'm about to die in this state. And on my headstone, I want shouldn't have driven through Ohio just
Yeah.
to.
It's because the lanes are so small and everything's so easy going that people just like get so relaxed and they don't remember that there are rules.
Know. And there's always like horrible construction. Usually, like, I want to say it's Cincinnati. Maybe it's
Yep.
Cleveland. One of the two. It's always like torn
Cincinnati.
apart. And,
Yep.
whew.
Yeah, it's a mess. Fun times.
The struggle is so real. So are you a horror fan or like just a fan of like spooky things in general?
Both. I really enjoy like my horror movies. I'm a big survival horror video game fan. I like being scared, but I also like, you know, good old fashioned ghost stories. And I have a whole collection of like local state books that are different, like spooky urban legends stuff. That's my favorite thing to sit down and read before bed is like, oh, what weird things are happening in Texas and things like
That's
that. So,
awesome. That
yeah.
is all very good information to have. I, man, I love watching Let's Plays on some of the horror games. I don't have the courage because I tend to like throw things if I get scared, and I don't want to like ruin equipment. So I'm like, I'll just sit here and pull up YouTube and watch somebody else play, and I can like cover my eyes when I need to, like the chicken that I am. And it's a lot of fun. Like, I used to give my sister a hard time for watching people play games like on YouTube, and I was like, you can just play it yourself. And I'm like, okay, I get it. It makes sense now.
And it's cheaper. You don't have to pay $70 to play something. You just watch somebody else play it.
Right? Like, long gone are the days of just like running into GameStop for a new Game Boy game, and it's like $15. And no, I just got a Nintendo Switch, and I have learned that the hard way.
And they don't do sales or discounts very often.
No. I love him so much. He's killing me today. Okay, so I'll just have to cut that out. That's always, and I forget that it's in there until I go to edit, and then it like jumps, or I hear him whining, and I'm like looking around for him, trying to figure out what he's whining about, and he's sleeping. I'm like, damn it. All right, what you got first? Hit me.
Well, I mean, there's lots of different stuff. Kentucky's one of those weird places that it sits next to Ohio and West Virginia and Tennessee and Indiana, and so you get lots of different like weird
Everybody.
stuff happening. It's like not quite South and it's not quite Midwest. You have like a weird variety of things. Like it has its own Sleepy Hollow, but instead of a headless horseman, it's a ghost who drives a hearse. Like just weird. Like, and it's all, this is the thing, it's also very charming. It feels like Walmart versions of major like horror things. Like there's the Hillbilly Beast, which is like a slightly shorter Bigfoot.
Oh my gosh.
And,
Just thinking,
you
like
know, just
the people of Walmart, like coloring books and stuff, there should be like a Ghost of Kentucky
it's
version of
really,
that.
and it's just, and it's all very charming. Like there's one that's like, there's a fountain in one of the big parks there that has a statue of Pan. And he is said to like get up and wander around the park at night when the, you know, full moon's out. And
Oh, that is
there's a
adorable.
place called Pilot's Knob that has like a small child's grave that she and her mother were like persecuted for witchcraft, and they were so scared of this 6-year-old child that they erected a big iron fence around her to keep her from crawling back out. So, you know, it's all just like, and Kentucky's home to CryptidCon. Like the literal convention for cryptids is in Kentucky. So
Oh
it's
my
just, it's
God.
a thing. They love their weirdness.
I didn't
You
know
know, it's,
that.
yeah, it's
I
home to
need to look
Waverly
that up.
Hills, which is,
Ooh, the
you know, the one of the
asylum.
like big five ghost hunting places. Any ghost hunting show worth its salt has been to Waverly Hills
Dang.
Sanatorium. Bobby Mackey's Music World is there, and that's where the first episode of Ghost Adventures was shot. And it's like this horrendously like, you know, haunted place. Apparently, we have, there's like one vampire hunter, and he lives in Bath County. We just need one.
The population's not that high up there. It's, you know, it
Yeah,
balances out.
it's a very eclectic group of just like weird ghosts and historical homes, and you know, you have the cemetery where Colonel Sanders is buried, and I'm sure
Oh, Colonel
that leads to all
Sanders.
sorts of weird chicken-related things happening.
Just like would want to go visit and just find like chickens everywhere, like
Yeah,
all shitting
it's
on his
really.
grave. Like, what
And it's
now?
funny too because it's the worst Kentucky Fried Chicken you'll ever have in Kentucky. Like it just does not taste good at all. Which I think is karma because he actually stole the recipe from his wife and didn't give her any credit.
Of
It's
course
her
not.
recipe. And so, but she actually still has like a family like restaurant there that you could actually get the original recipe. But as you know, it's just like weird things. It's like Colonel Sanders and his 8-legged chicken farms because he, that's how they made, that's like their Chernobyl chicken thing of like how they make so much KFC is that they have
Oh,
like
God.
mutating the chickens in Kentucky because they have the
Oh,
technology for that.
I wish, like, if something like that would not surprise me at this point in the game. Like, not at all. I'd be like, really? I'm shocked that we didn't find out sooner.
Right. So, but yeah, but one of the two like big ones, speaking of the vampire hunter in Bath County, is the have you heard of the Kentucky Meat Shower of 1876?
Yes. Oh my God. I listened to, have you ever listened to The Dollop?
No.
Oh my gosh. It is a fantastic podcast, but they cover like the most random things in history. And when I heard this episode like ages ago, it's been a while, I was just like, what the fuck?
I know.
I don't understand.
There,
I'm so
someone actually
excited
wrote
about this.
an illustrated like children's book about the
No.
meat shower that you can buy at like the local museums. Like there, and it's just this cute little colored book that tells the story of the Kentucky meat shower. I guess it's just
Oh,
like such
God.
weird. Like I had a my employer before the pandemic hit was due to have her baby the day of the anniversary of the meat shower, so I started like I was like I desperately wanted to call the baby meat
Oh,
because it's like I'm like you can't not take that opportunity if your baby is born on the anniversary of the meat shower.
oh, that is amazing. Oh.
Oh, but yeah, so the story of the meat shower is that one afternoon, in March of 1876, a like set of farmland, all of a sudden had chunks of red meat ranging from 1 inch to 2 inches falling from the sky, and it just littered the field. And it took place for about, they said, like 6 minutes, and it was right around 11 a.m. Like it's a very well documented thing. Like, and they went and like walked up to it and just like picked up these just like fresh chunks of meat in the ground, and the sky was clear and there was nothing out there. And of course, being 1876 in Kentucky and in the country, they're like, let's taste it and see what it tastes like, because that's what farmers did in 1876.
It's free groceries.
And but the funny thing was is that all of them said that it tasted different. Someone was like, oh, this is definitely deer. And like, no, someone else was like, no, this is chicken or pork or something like that. And so there's like nobody could come to a conclusion on what it is. And they actually kept pieces of the meat in tiny vials, and they're in museums, and they finally, with like technology, did like DNA testing on these things. And they're like, yeah, there's like seven different animals in this, and we don't know what it is.
Oh,
Like, we
see
don't know,
that part I didn't know.
we can't narrow down what it
Oh my
is. So, but yeah, it's Bath County, Kentucky, the meat shower. And the biggest running theory is that it was vulture vomit, that a group of vultures flew overhead and all got sick at the same time and just threw up all of the meat. But it's like having that much meat and that much simultaneous vulture nausea
right?
makes no sense.
And I mean, they eat horrible things. Like,
Yeah.
what is going to make a vulture nauseous?
Right.
Like, that's.
And yeah, I don't even, and then the fact that these people ate it.
Oh, I know. That just. Oh,
Yeah, but
what?
yeah,
Oh,
that's one of the fun, more fun of the, and less like people are dying left and right, like with Waverly Hills, where you had like 10,000 people die. So, but that's yeah, it's a children's book and it's adorable. It's really cute little cartoon illustrations with chunks of meat falling from the sky.
oh, I need to get my hands on one of those.
It's great.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Yeah,
Yeah.
I thought that was probably an episode of all the things that they've done. I think that one left me stumped and like contemplating life the longest afterwards. 'Cause I was like, there's literally nothing. Like, I mean, aliens, like came through and like ejected trash. Like
On a clear day with nothing in the sky, with like
right?
eight people all witnessing this happen, and there's nothing there.
Oh, yeah, that one it left me stumped because I cannot get my head around it. Like you said, the fact that they were like, oh hey, random meat. Like let's eat it and see how it tastes. Like
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me nauseous. It might not do much for vultures, but
Yeah, it's I don't even remember where I heard it for the first time, but I was like obsessed with it for a really long time because I'm like, this is weird and so strange.
me. Like you want so badly to like think of the one thing that they didn't come up with that actually makes sense, but there is nothing that
Yeah, because you
in
would
any
think that
way,
you would
shape, or
see
form.
the vultures if you're in an
Right?
open field
I
and
mean,
on
they're
a
big
clear
birds.
day. Like they're big and they're noisy.
Yes.
Because Kentucky has turkey vultures. And so they're the very like loud versions of them that are just the ugliest things and they're huge. Like they'll sit on the sides of the roads while you're driving, just watch you drive by. It's like they're horrifying. It's so, like the vultures in Kentucky are monstrous. So it's like you would see them. They would eclipse the sky because they
Right.
do. Like when they take off, it's just like a flurry of black. And so I was just like, I'm like, okay, this is just one of those weird, weird things that I
Yeah.
guess you had to be there.
And for there to be enough of them to vomit for 6 minutes, like
Right. Yeah.
that's
Yeah.
like six flocks of vultures all together.
That's a
Like,
lot.
okay, everybody go now.
Yeah. All this and all simultaneous is like, what would cause that many to have that same reaction at the same time in the same place. It's just it's weird. There's weird things happening in Kentucky. It's just
That's
you know.
amazing. I'm so excited you had that.
But of course the biggest one is if you ask anybody from Louisville, you ask anybody from Kentucky what the thing is, they have these either Waverly Hills for your ghost hunting people, and then you have the Pope Lick Monster for your cryptid people, for the people who are like your mythological things. So he's the Pope Lick Monster. He's also known as the Goat Man. He's part human, part goat, part sheep, which you know he's three parts. And he is like apparently he's been around for about three generations, and he was just kind of this thing that happened. That is like it's a very oral tradition that people tell around campfires, and he. Like I used to live by Pope Lick Road, so I would have to drive by his train trestle every single day when I was going to work, when I was going to like university and stuff like that. And I have friends that live under the train trestles. Like I'm very like I know where this thing is, and it's just a massive set of trains at the kind of like at the county lines. And they said that this man who was part goat lived in the trestle and had various ways of like killing people, and he would abduct all the like the farm animals, like the goats and the sheep and stuff like that. And he has become so infamous in the area and for like cryptid hunters that they actually had to put up like 28-foot high fences to keep people off of the train tracks because the trains are still active. And people are like sitting there like looking for, I know it's one of those things, it's like I ha you know you have to be like, please don't climb on the very active daily
Oh my
use train
God.
trestle going looking for the goat man. Like I don't know if you know who like the YouTuber Mr. Ballin is. Like he does like
Sounds
horror story
terrible to
type of
me.
stuff, and he specifically had to like preface his version of this like, please stop climbing over the fences to go find the goat man.
Oh my God. That's like,
But he's
please don't eat laundry detergent.
yeah, please don't eat the meat that fell out of the sky. Like but he has like a bunch of like different like origin stories and lore to him. Some say that he can't speak and just kind of like grunts and groans and makes all these horrible noises. And other ones is like, oh, he uses voice mimicry to like call people to the train tracks.
That's
And
creepy.
there my favorite is like I grew up hearing this legend. My grandmother's from Iowa and she lives in Madison County where the big covered bridges are. And there's always a story of like if you park your car there at midnight and turn it off, then a ghost will stop the car from turning on. Well, the Pope Lick Monster does the same thing where he will like if you drive under the train trestles and stop at midnight, he'll jump down off of the top of the trestles onto your car and come after you with an axe. So he
Oh,
has his own
God.
little version of that story, which I think is great.
Ooh.
But yeah, so the axe is kind of like the biggest thing of like he carries this big axe around and he like draws people onto the train tracks. And some say that the very sight of him makes you go so insane that you jump off of the trestle yourself, which is why they were like saying, oh, people should be jumping off of the trains because they went crazy from seeing, you know, the sight of this half sheep, half goat half man, as they call him. He's been called a circus freak. Like he was like in a circus and was very abused for the way that he looked, and he just like went and obliterated everybody in the circus and then ran to the like valleys of Fisherville to go hide under the public trains.
Oh
They said that he was on one of the trains that derailed one day and escaped and just kind of like decided to burrow in the area. The most common one though is that he was a farmer who was also like super insane and loved to sacrifice goats to get satanic powers in exchange for, you know, sacrificing goats as one does.
God.
you
What
know, but
farmer hasn't been like, I really need to make extra money this year, like.
right. I have goats. My neighbors have goats. That's why all the neighbors' goats kept disappearing. Is he's like, I need more power. But yeah, like there's like been made like indie films about him, and he's just kind of like the big like the goat man apocalyptic creature of like, oh, he's actually Satan living on a train track because that sounds appropriate, you know, anywhere in the world, and he picks Fisherville, Kentucky to live under a train track.
Prime real estate. I mean,
But yeah.
so with drawings and pictures of him and stuff, like, are people pretty consistent about like what's man and what's goat and what's sheep? Or are there like all kinds of like scientific experiments happening with these things?
The most common one is that he has kind of like the very like satyr body with like the big fuzzy legs and the cloven hooves, and he has a human body. Sometimes he has like fur and stuff on his hands, and then because he's carrying, you know, he's got to carry his bloodstained axe around.
Of course.
But then most of the time is he has just a very like long, either usually elongated human head with goat horns, or he has an actual goat head. And with the big like long ears and glowing eyes, that tends to be kind of like the depiction that you see of the goat man. But some of them are like, no, he's literally just a goat with a human head. Just kind of depends on, you know, how far into the alchemy, satanic powers side of the lore you get into.
He definitely seems like the most human behaving of a lot of the cryptids that
Yeah.
I've heard, like jumping down onto cars underneath and things like that. That definitely has more of like a person vibe to him.
Yeah, he's very much kind of like that, like human twisted into something kind of creation, not just like Bigfoot, who's just this big massive ape thing wandering around. It's like it very much is like the, you know, sacrificing the powers or like sometimes alchemy is involved, which I'm like, I don't think alchemy is a big thing in, you know, the farmlands of Kentucky in the late 1800s, but I don't really know. But so it's a lot of that, like, you know,
That's
the
where the
stereotype
meat came from.
where the meat came from. The go man. But a lot of like it's like, oh, the human experiments of like turning himself into a goat kind of thing. It just kind of depends on who you talk to, but
Oh my
it's just one of
gosh.
those like it's a very beautiful area, but then it's like, you know, you have all these people who are just like, oh, it's just like it's haunted by a goat man. And that's a big thing in like especially in Louisville, is that they love Halloween, and they have a it's super cool. It's a haunted house scavenger hunt. And so you start, it's partnered with Lowe's. And so you start at the Lowe's and they give you a map, and they literally have taken like the entire city and the part of Indiana and given like scavenger hunt clues. And you have to like basically drive around until you find your haunted house destination. And a lot of them lean into that goat man's like a public monster is a very big character in that. And some of them are actually like on Pope Lick Road. And so that's when you start to really get freaked out. It's like, oh, you're like, oh, I know where I am. I can hear the trains.
Oh God.
And then it's so it's like he's just a huge part of like the cryptid culture of the city. And they really do lean into the whole like axe thing and the goat noises. And because it's just like it's a very strange area, because you have Louisville's a very like big city. Like you have the Derby and you have like lots of stuff, so there's lots of stuff going on. And then there's just like this strip, it's railroad and Pope Lick, and it's all just massive trees and forest with old like cabin farmhouses that's smack dab in between two major highways.
Oh.
And so it's like going into this completely like you're stepping back in time, because you're like driving back there, and it's just like this rickety old trains and these cabins with their like actual oil lantern like looking things on the front, and then you drive there on Halloween, and you're like, oh, there's a
Oh
haunted
God.
house here, and the goat
Oh.
man's gonna come get me. So,
It's
you
like,
know,
I've seen this movie way too many times. I know what happens
right?
in those cabins, and this is not going to
So, but yeah, it's just a weird little like glimpse back into the past, because just like it's so close to so many things, and it's just like, oh, the goat man could be walking up to the Chick-fil-A down the road over there because he's that close to
That
civilization.
would be like the epitome of irony for like the goat man and his like satanic rituals and stuff to stroll into Chick-fil-A. Like,
Yeah. It's just, yeah, he's just one of those people. It's just like you ask anybody and it's like, oh yeah, I know about the Pope, like monster. Like I thought it was weird because like when I first moved there, everyone was like, oh, the things that you need to like look out for, there's Waverly Hills and the Pope, like monster. I'm like, the what now? Like, and it's just one of those things, like we would talk about the Pope, like monster at Sunday school. Like he is such a common, well-known like cryptid and legend that like it would just be like we would just be sitting around like reading the Bible and be like, oh man, did you hear about like this thing they're doing about like the Pope, like monsters get a new movie? Like
Oh
so he is definitely an icon in the area. Like I have, you know, someone I actually went to church with was played the goat man in an indie goat man film.
wow.
Like he's a big deal.
That's so funny. So for this, because now I'm dying to know about the scavenger hunt. So that's, is that something you've done before?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, and so it's like you just pile a bunch of friends into a car, so you pay the prices for one car, and then you head off from the Lowe's, and they have like the it's like cool because it's like in a booklet, and there's three different haunts for each year, and you just follow it. They'd be like, oh, you need to follow the split trident to the left, which means it's like a three-way turn sign, so you have to like pay attention to the road and the signs and like landmarks and stuff like that. And
Oh,
you'll
that's so
sometimes end up
cool.
in like, you know, there was one that we did one year that there's a huge outdoor paintball arena, and they turned it into an outdoor zombie apocalypse like set. And so you're driving, and it's like, I mean, sometimes they're taking you 40 minutes away from the Lowe's to go to these places. You have to like invest a whole night in it, but it's so much fun because you're like
Oh,
you're
that's so
hanging out in the car
cool.
with your friends and getting to go see like a bunch of the, you know, local haunts. And it also supports like the smaller ones that don't get seen a lot because it's like, oh, we have the big guys. It's like, oh, well, the first one you start out is like one that's in somebody's house, so it's like a really big community type of thing.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's pretty fun. Like Louisville has lots of like ghost tours and from the old haunted houses and stuff like that, and they're turning Waverly Hills into a bed and breakfast, which I think is so
Shut
weird.
up.
And
No.
yeah, they're turning like the parks that aren't like super dilapidated into a bed and breakfast, that way they can have people stay and do the overnight haunts and it kind of help preserve the building and like, you know, keep the historical society, you know, active. And so they're just like turning some of the rooms and stuff into little bed and breakfast. And yeah,
Wow.
you know,
That
it's
is ballsy.
yeah.
Like, but I mean, I at the same time, like, there are definitely like horror fans and everything that would jump on that too, like the chance to stay overnight up there.
Yeah, I had a friend sleep in the body chute once.
Wow.
Yeah, he lasted about 3 hours.
Oh,
Yeah, I'm like,
nope.
no.
That's a hard pass.
Yeah.
I need to find something for this year down here for Halloween. Because we had back in New York, we had a haunted hayride. And
Yeah.
it was this local orchard that it was phenomenal. Like I don't even know how much money they invested into, I mean, because they had like big electronic things too. It wasn't just
No,
like,
that's cool.
the local people. So you would have each wagon had a tour guide that would explain to you, and they had these little like towns set up in different parts of
Oh, that's cool.
the orchard. So you would like roll up into one and you would stop and the tour guide would like tell you the story about this particular town. And of course each one was themed, and as you're going through the woods, there's people that come out with like chainsaws with
Yep.
no chain on them and everything, like reach out, grab your leg when you drive past and stuff like that. And I really miss that. I heard they don't do it anymore, which makes me sad, but oh, it was so much fun.
There's a place, I think it's in Bardstown, Kentucky, that has, it's like a really old historical house, and it had a really rich family in it, and they do an incredible ghost tour where they actually, because apparently they had, I want to say, like 12 rooms in the house, and someone died in every single one of the rooms. And so you go in and they do, it's a historical tour. And so they tell you the history of the building, but they actually have kind of get this like interactive like look at the dark side of the history while you're actually learning about this like big massive historical mansion. And like Bardstown does a ton of stuff like that. And it's all like super cool. They also do the little hay rides on the land, so you can kind of look at the land, and they do like cider stuff, and there's always like lots of fun little like historical type of things to do like that in Kentucky, because the history is so rich with like the horse racing and the music scene and the bluegrass and the bourbon tours. Like, you wouldn't believe how many people die in bourbon making accidents. Like, but yeah, it's just like it's a
Amazing.
very eclectic and weird old state that has lots of interesting things happening.
Oh, I really want to do that scavenger hunt now. What is it? It's February, right? Okay, so
Yeah.
I got time to square this way.
Yeah, I think it starts in September.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Like they really take their haunted houses and their mythology very seriously, which is super cool. Like there's tons of, you know, oh, there's something else. They have the Jack-o'-lantern Spectacular, which is 1,000 hand-carved pumpkins set up through one of the historical parks. And so it's a walking thing that you walk through, and they have all of them like are set up to like themes. And so they had like 1 year they did movie themes with a bunch of different genres, and they did like different places around the globe. But it's 1,000 hand-carved pumpkins, and they have to change them out every single week, and it runs for 3 weeks. They have 3,000 pumpkins, and it's set to
Wow.
music. And they have like this massive tree that is probably like, I say, maybe 20 feet tall, and they just run the pumpkins all the way up the side of it. So you're like walking, and you're just like surrounded by all these massive pumpkins. And it just had its
Oh, that's
10th
so cool.
anniversary last year. So it's like a yearly thing. And that one is super fun, because then you're also like in a like historic, also haunted
Of
park.
course.
Because you know, all of our parks are, you know, haunted because we don't have much else going on. But that one's a pretty cool. I actually think it's in Iroquois Park, which I think does have a cemetery attached to it, or there's someone close by. So it's like one of those cool things that there's like a lot of interesting little Halloween things that you could do around there. So it's
Oh, that's
awesome.
awesome. I love seeing, like, I remember trying to carve pumpkins as a kid, and I was not good at it at all. So, like, seeing what some people do with pumpkins is just mind-blowing. Like, I can't even imagine being able to do some of that. I feel like I should
Yeah,
have it, but.
they have a whole like in memoriam section for like actors and like local people who have passed away over the year, and it's like the most realistic looking like lifelike portraits carved into these pumpkins.
Oh my God, that's
It's
crazy.
yeah, it's crazy, but lots of
Oh.
interesting and weird things to do and see, and graveyards to go look at and.
Like now I need to spend Halloween in Kentucky. Sounds like it was raining. Yeah, we're always just like I-75 being the disaster as it is, like we have the mountain going up into it and then coming down on the Kentucky side.
Yeah.
So the second it even remotely gets close to snow, that is the first area to go straight to shit. And
Yep.
every year I'm like, can we just cut this out and give it to Kentucky? Because I don't want to deal with
No,
this anymore.
because Kentucky is notorious for forgetting that snow exists. And it's I kid you not, it's like it's one of those that like if there's a mention of snow, they're like, not even snow, it's flurries, the grocery stores are empty.
Milk
And
and
I have
bread.
physically watched driving, actually it was actually at the turn on Popelick, so I was close to the train trestles. I watched somebody in front of me driving totally fine, and it started to flurry, and they freaked out so bad they drove off into a ditch. That's the level of chaos that happens when it snows in Kentucky. Everything shuts down. Walmart shuts down. Like, nothing is open. If there's a, and it's not like you can still see the ground. Like, there's no standing snow. That sounds like we don't need any more snow.
That drives me insane. Like my first couple of winters down here, well, I can't say that. Like I've been here for, this will be my sixth winter coming up, and it still blows my mind every time. But like I grew up in New York. So, you know, a lot of the people I work with have kids, and they'll be like, oh, they've canceled school tomorrow because of the weather. And I'm like, what weather? Like it's not even weathering right now. There is nothing. Like, what is the big deal? And they're like, oh, it's supposed to snow. And I'm like, I had to hoof it to school with like 6 inches of snow on the road. And, you know, sometimes we might get a 2 hour delay if we're lucky. Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, I'm from Kansas City, and so our seasons are tornadoes, Mordor, 2 weeks of niceness, and then sleet. And so, like, you know, at this point, we can handle anything. And so, when everything closes, I'm just like, what is happening?
Do people get how to do this?
I was like, I don't understand.
One of
That
my
is one thing that I
friends.
do miss about Kentucky is because I'm back in KC right now, but it's just like there's just like not the same amount of like weird like local legends and stuff because it's been such a sprawling city for so long, that we have like a penitentiary that's supposed to be haunted in Missouri, and that's about all we've got. And so like you look at just the vastness. I have a literal book of like haunted mansions in Kentucky that are all like on the same street. It's just one street, and every single like mansion is haunted. I'm like, man, why is like why? I was like, where did all the ghosts go here? They're
That's
all in Kentucky.
awesome. I have been there once, like 2 or 3 summers ago, because one of my friends lives in Kansas City. And we didn't get out like a ton, but it looked like it was a really pretty city. And of course, at that point, I was not into horror the way I am now. So I wasn't even like contemplating any of those things. I mean, I've always liked spooky stuff, but in terms of like straight up horror kind of stuff, I was like, you know, if I see a documentary, like, sure, I'll watch it, but I'm not gonna like go out of my way to look for these things. And now I like specifically look for people to, I'm like, come on and tell me your things. I want to know them all. So it's just, I really want at this point to put together like a Ghoulish Gallery anthology with like
Yes.
Cats, Loveland Frogman, and the Popelick Monster, and
Yep.
the Squonk, and like all these things that I had no idea existed. Like it just.
I love the Fresno Nightcrawler. That's my favorite cryptid. The walking
Oh.
pair of pants.
Oh, I
I love
died. When I pulled up the picture of this thing, I was like, are you kidding me?
so great.
Oh, like I didn't even, I was like, on one hand, it is indeed creepy as fuck, but at the same time, it's like,
A walking pair of pants.
what's it gonna do? Like, is he gonna walk up and kick me in the
Slowly, because I can't walk straight.
I can't believe that that's even a thing, and it's amazing, and
It's great.
I just don't even know what to do with my life now that I know about it.
Yeah,
So,
my coworkers just found out that I'm the cryptid person, and so they were having me like tell them about all the like weird like cryptid things, and I was like, have you heard of the vegetable lamb of Chartery? And they're like, the what now? I was like, it's a lamb that grows out of the ground on a stalk, and it can't move, and it just eats and grows fat until you are ready to drink its blood and consume it for a meal. And
shut
that's
up.
all it is. It's the vegetable lamb of Tartary. And it grows on a corn stalk, and it's just like a lamb that just chills there and he just eats. And you're like, oh, I'm hungry. Let's just destalk the lamb
Oh my God.
and go eat him. And then there's the blenny, which is the like if you've seen like the old like Renaissance paintings, a lot of times they have like humans without heads and the faces are like on the chest. Those are blemmies. So just
Oh my God.
yeah,
I
it's
just,
good stuff.
like, I always say, like, it's, it's good to learn something new every day. Every day. And then sometimes I'm like, I was not prepared for what I learned on this
Yeah,
day.
just like that's enough learning for today. We can be done.
I met my quota for the week.
Yeah, that was another thing is living like kind of on the border where Kentucky is that we were like maybe like 3 hours away from Point Pleasant, which is the home of the
Oh,
Mothman.
yeah.
So Mothman was another big one that everyone's like, oh, I saw a Mothman. I'm like, I don't, that's a little bit far of a flight for him, but it's just like kind of like that overlap of stuff. Because we're so close to like Virginia and Ohio and Indiana, and there's just like all those
This
like
melting pot of
kind of melting pots of
everything.
yeah
Oh my
weirdness.
God. You know what would be
Yeah,
another
Tennessee,
amazing?
lots of interesting things in Tennessee.
Yeah, there's somebody, there have been like a few people that I've scheduled with where, for whatever reason, things just go wrong the day that we're scheduled to record every time. So, like, and of course, this winter, everybody's been sick. It's been
Yeah.
horrible for people. So it's like they'll get sick and then I get sick and then we'll have like a horrible thunderstorm and I like lose power. And it's just all of these freak things that keep happening. But the majority, like, I've been able to record and it's just fine. But there are just a few select people, you included, where it's just like everything hits the fan like at that time. And I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. So I have somebody that I'm gonna be recording with who's down like Chattanooga way. And I've been
Yeah.
so excited because I'm like, yes, like this is like it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours for me. So I'm like, this is like legit local stuff. Like I'm super
Yeah.
excited. But she's another one where it's just like every time we try to skip, there is just the universe is like, fuck you and your plans. That's adorable. And
You're not ready for the knowledge of what the
that's
state
right.
has to offer. It's like it's trying to shield you
Oh
from the
God.
meat showers and the
Oh no.
Dunwich Cave monsters.
And thinking of anthologies now, like how amazing of a call would that be? Explain the Kentucky meat shower. Like, I think that has to happen now because I can just imagine some of the things that people would come up with.
That'd be so amazing. Yeah, it's I didn't realize that the hillbilly beast was such a big thing until I started like looking up stuff to talk about for this episode. I'm like, a hillbilly beast, a small Bigfoot. Like I need to know more about this small Bigfoot that apparently fought like Daniel Boone. Like apparently Daniel Boone fought the hillbilly beast, and I'm like, okay. I was like, all right, I guess we're gonna have to sit down and look into this thing.
And like, at what point does he become Littlefoot instead of Bigfoot
Right.
or a little Bigfoot?
Yeah, or is it just like the fact that like people were like shorter back then, so he was like normal people size, and so now comparatively he's just small. Like I don't
Bigfoot
know.
grew with the population.
Why not?
God, that is fantastic. Like, it's
Yeah,
just, ugh.
I'm waiting. One of my favorite authors is I think it's E.L. Schlosser. Schlosser. I can't say her name. Or is it S.E. Schlosser? So she does these like books that are collections of
That's
like
awesome.
folklore and ghost stories from certain areas. There's like one for Texas. I got one for New Orleans, which I'm super excited to read. I feel like New Orleans is going to
Ooh,
be great.
yeah.
But there hasn't been one for like the Kentuckiana area yet, and I'm like, there's so much, and I need to know, because the way that she tells the stories is it's like you're sitting down, with a relative around a campfire, so they're told in like these first person narrative perspectives. Like, I just need you
Oh,
to
that's
tell me
amazing.
your take on the public monster in the meat shower, because I just need to know how you can make
Oh.
this seem more spooky than it is.
Right? And it's, man, like, you wish that you could get every version of that story because there's like a million of them out there,
Yeah.
especially passed around through word of mouth.
Yeah.
And oh, you just, it's like, I want to know all of them, but
the time and effort that it would take to like talk to everybody who's heard some version of it.
Yeah.
Like, but you just need to know.
Yeah,
Totally need to know.
it's just really funny, just like the public monster, and then you think you forget about it, then again, like it shows up on Mr. Ballin's channel and he has 2 million subscribers on YouTube, and it's like, why are you talking about the public monster right now?
I'll have to look him
Why
up
is this
because
a
it sounds
thing?
pretty good. Oh my gosh, that's
Yeah, he tells like true stories of like things that actually have happened, but he gives them kind of a like dark and mysterious twist as he narrates it. So again, it feels like a campfire story type of thing, but they're all true stories and they all have a big twist at the end. So it's a lot of fun to like sit and listen to him talk because he's such a great storyteller. But he was talking about one of the people who actually died looking for the Popelik monster, and it's like, and so everyone is, I was like, I left a comment, I was like, I have friends that live under that road and I drove by it every day and I got flooded with people like, please tell people to stop climbing. I was like, what am I gonna do? I was like, I can tell, I if you should know not to climb 28-foot tall fences that say no trespassing.
I know. Like, there's only so many warning signs you can put up, and you just have to let things take their course
Yeah.
because if people are determined to do it, they're gonna do it. They're
Well,
gonna
and the
find a
hard
way.
part about the way that it's set is because the top, it's on Taylorsville Road and it intersects with Popelik. And so it is a massive drop. And so you go down this really steep hill, and then at the bottom of the hill is Popelik, and the train follows that decline. And so the way that it's like surrounded by the trees and the curve of the hills, you can't hear the train coming. And so when it's like daylight out and you don't have like the ability to see like the big headlight coming, you have no idea where it is because it comes down a slope and then it curves around a bend. So it's
Oh
either
no.
curving at you or coming straight down at you when you're in this section. And so it's like one of those things, you just cannot hear it and you don't see it coming because it's a freaking train.
Oh.
It's going much faster than you are.
Yeah, and
But
cannot stop on a
you know,
dime, like
no, yeah. But yeah, it's just, you know, you get called by the goat man. He calls you up there with his talents of mimicry and beckons you to come near so he can,
I
you know.
do. Oh God. Like, if one of my friends is trying to call me out onto the train tracks anyways, like how much of a friend are they?
Right? How
Like
did you get up there without me knowing?
they're active train tracks and you want me to come say hi? No, you come down here. Oh my
Fun
gosh, that's
stuff.
amazing. Kentucky goat
Yeah.
meeting.
Yep. That Popelik monster.
And just
Because even
the
the
name.
name Popelik.
That has been one thing, like living down here, where, you know, I start to hear some of these road names and I'm like, who came up with this? Like, we have like Cracker Neck Road and Bacon Ranch Road, Bacon Branch Road, Owl Hole Gap, like all these weird road names, and you're just like, at what point did you start running out of ideas and that's what you came up with?
Well, and if it tells you anything about Kentucky, yeah, we went and did a tour in Frankfort, which is the capital. And the tour guide was telling us, because if you look at Louisville, it's spelled Louisville, but there's so many different ways to pronounce it. They actually have a banner hanging in the airport that has like the different variations of the spelling. It says Louisville, Louisville, Louisville. The locals just take all of the vowels out, just call it Louisville. It's Louhvul, Louisville. But so he was telling us that for some reason the people in Kentucky were really aggravated with the French at the time, and so to make them upset, they changed Louisville to Louisville, and they changed Versailles to Versailles. So it's actually Versailles, Kentucky, because they wanted to. We have a big middle finger to the French monarchy at the time. If that tells you anything about the dynamic of Kentucky as a place,
I think that's like
we're
the
gonna.
most American thing I've ever heard in my
It's so
life.
American. American. It's in Versailles, Kentucky. Come on down to
Oh.
Versailles.
Oh my God. They give me such a hard time at work because of the way, like, I've had to adapt and say things the way they're said here. But like up in New York, it's Route 36, Route 417, State Route, whatever. And I came down here and I dispatch. So, one of the first times I sent somebody to something, I was like, can you be en route to State Route, whatever, and this cross street for a crash? And like the officer came back at me and was like, I'll be en route to State Route, whatever. And I was like, don't you call me out. That's no, we're not gonna have this conversation. And I ended up having to change the way I say it just to get through the day.
I had to use all the variations of y'all when I moved, because there's y'all, there's y'alls, all y'all, all y'alls, like just like,
It
because it's so,
is.
it's so funny because Kentucky's just like this void that nobody wants to claim. Because like people like from my like myself who's from the Midwest, like I am from, like if you put a pin at the center of the country, I am there. Like I am from the heartland, I am from the Midwest. And I look at Kentucky and it's so south, but nobody from the south wants to claim Kentucky. They're like, no, this is the Midwest. I'm like, well, that's wrong because it's on the eastern side of the country, but two, it's like we don't want it either. And it's just like this void of just like,
And the North certainly isn't going to claim
no. And so, but it's like, again, it butts up to Tennessee and West Virginia, which to me feels very southern, but apparently it's not southern enough to like actually want them to claim Kentucky, and we don't want it. So it just kind of sits there in its own existential void of all y'alls and
God. That has been like the hardest part of living in the South, especially as somebody who really enjoys the English language. Like, I freely admit, like, I'm one of those weirdos. Like, I love to edit. Like, I do freelance editing. So, I'm always that person where they're like, oh, hey, can you read my email? So, when I just, some of the things that people say when they call in, like, I sawed somebody out doing this, or I seen't, and I'm just like, oh God, oh my eyelid.
They need to ask you a question.
Oh, it's just, whew, it's a test of my willpower to not just like that gif of like the little girl laying in the leaves, like kicking and screaming. Like, I want to do that so badly.
Oh, and it's funny too because Kentucky is on that weird line that it's not south enough to have like the charming southern accent, and it still has enough influences of like north stuff. So it just like, it's just kind of like in this weird thing. Like when you listen to my sister, she was two when we moved there. She has such a completely different way of speaking than I do. It's like her sentence will run totally fine, and she'll say one word, and I'm like, like the what now?
Your Kentucky came out.
Yeah, and it's just, I have certain things like I say y'all all the time now too, and I'm like, I hate this. I
I
hate
know.
it.
But it's hard. Like when
It's,
you hear it all the time, like you just start to adapt to it, even when, in your little English heart, like you know it's wrong. It's like,
yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is it's like my brain can't commit to one or the other either. So it's like I'm like bouncing back and forth, and I'm like, this is not working. Like I'm not falling into one or the other. I'm just like all over the place, and it's really bad when I sing. When I sing, I get the worst country drawl, and it's
no.
horrible. And I'm like, where did that come from? I was like, who are you?
I'm like in this awkward space of like, I'll call home in New York and talk to friends and stuff like that. And they're like, you sound so southern now. Listen to that twang. You picked up that
My
twang.
grandparents did the same thing the first time they saw us after we moved to Kentucky,
I
and I was like, I don't think we have one, but
know.
they're
And then
from
everybody
Minnesota.
here makes fun of you for not sounding like you're from here. So it's like, who do I sound like? What am I?
No, just nothing. Exactly.
Yeah, Minnesota and the Dakotas and Wisconsin, like that's its own thing entirely too.
Yeah, listening to them talk, it's like, oh,
I
like you all sound like Rose from the Golden Girls, and I just don't know how to handle it.
love her so much.
I do too. That's the way my family on that side talks, and then my other side of the family is all from Iowa, so they have that same like weird, like not
In
quite.
between.
Yeah, it's like it's they're country enough because they live in farm areas, but it's not country enough to be southern.
I've had to like pull up pictures of the town I grew up in because I had like 46 people in my graduating class and it was like a merged school
Yeah.
district. So, I mean, it was like this tiny little place in the middle of nowhere, like surrounded by farms. And the reaction I tend to get is, well, you don't know anything about country. You're from New York. And I'm like, we tipped cows just like everybody else did.
Yep.
Like, there were farms to play hide and seek on. Like, you don't. I'm still, it's still a thing. Just because
Yeah.
it's New York doesn't mean, but everybody automatically assumes city.
Yeah,
So they're like,
they people
oh, I
forget
love
that New York
Manhattan.
is like there's more to New
Right.
York.
I'm like, believe it or not, there's a whole state. And I mean, I only went to the city once. I've only been there once. I lived like 8 hours from it. And they're like, wow, New York is that
Yeah.
big? Yeah, it's that big.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. Do you have any other stories you would like to throw in?
No, I mean those are kind of the big ones. This, I'm sure
Feel.
there are more that I've forgotten, but most of it's, haunted parks, haunted cemeteries, and things falling from the sky. So
I really feel down in my soul that this meat shower thing is going to happen. So if it does, I'm going to let you know because obviously you have to be involved.
obviously.
like I want it so badly in my life now. The horror community's explanation for the Kentucky meat shower. That's going to be good. I can't wait to see like the reactions to this one too because I expect there to be lots of comments. I'm going to specifically be like, okay, give me your explanation. Let's
Yeah,
hear
because
it.
it's yeah, because even if you look at like the Wikipedia article for it, it's small because there's not that much information on it other than what was documented
What do
and
you do? Like,
what else can you document in 1876.
oh, God, that's amazing. Do you have anything going on right now that you want to promote? Any books out that you are trying to sell or anything coming up for release? What you got?
I have a weekly web novel that I release. It updates every single Saturday. It's more in the sci-fi aspect of things, but I'm about 2.5 chapters away from actually finishing writing it, but I have chapters scheduled all the way out until December, so it's a
Oh,
nice
that's
like fun
awesome.
little treat in your inbox. It's called The Wayward Souls of Avalon. It's on my Patreon because I have spent 200 hours working on it and I didn't want to give it away for free.
Right, that's understandable.
I have a mythology short story that it's a story about the Minotaur, and a little bit of her Hades and Persephone lore in there, and it's an 18 plus kind of like horror erotica story,
Love the guitar.
that the excess copies was backed on Kickstarter, which I'm so thankful to everyone who backed it because I did not think that my first Kickstarter was actually going to get funded, but I did, and I actually went way over goal. And
Oh,
the
that's
excess
awesome.
copies of that are now available to be purchased in both PDF and the physical zines. I'm always writing short stories that are coming out anywhere. I have two coming out from Timber Ghost Press, which is a horror-based publication company in Utah. They're phenomenal. And I'm going to be in a Western anthology, horror anthology of theirs as well later
Oh,
this year.
fun.
So just constantly writing new stuff and trying to find some homes for my novellas. And I'm the web comics and manga editor for Comic Book Yeti, so I always have reviews for comics coming out. But yeah, it's lots of stuff. My website is Disturbances by Alicia. It's alycia.weebly.com, and I have links for everything that you can find it all there. So
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll have you. I don't know if we've actually emailed, but I'll have you
I
send
think
me
so.
all of your socials and stuff so that I can link all that. And then stick around for a second after I end this because with these things that I've learned, we need to talk. Okay. So sweet. Yeah, we will get all of those linked because those all very much sound like things that need to be read. So
I
people
would
will.
appreciate it. I spend lots of time writing, and marketing yourself is so exhausting.
Oh my God, it is. That was like
It's
the hardest part of me learning how to do all of this is like the
yeah.
self-promotion. It's like you feel so like stuck up doing it, but at the same time, like you have to, you don't have a choice. Like,
Yeah, and it's like, and how do you like it gets so defeating after you like have something that you're so passionate about. Like, again, I have a 500-page web novel, and like I'm excited about it, but then like trying to tell people like actually go and like check it out is exhausting, and it's so defeating because you're just like, why
yes.
isn't nobody coming to hang out with me?
I
I promise.
yeah, we will definitely get that linked. Sweet. Well, I'm glad that we were finally both healthy enough to make this happen. And
Yeah.
please, I've lost track of like where I'm at episode wise. Hopefully, well, it'll probably be beginning of April, I think, when it'll be out. So hopefully we will have survived by then. And
Right.
this winter will finally be behind us because it's been horrible.
Yeah.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming to chat and like
Yeah.
putting up with my dog before we even got started.
All good.
Awesome. All right. We will see all you Ghoul kids next week.
Bye.
Peace out.